Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Just a reminder, Will Levis will sit down with Jared right at 2 p.m. on Stillman & Company, so make sure that you are tuned in for that. Titans quarterback Will Levis at 2 p.m. right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. But joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, I'm assuming you are in Vegas?
Vegas, currently in New York City. We'll get up this morning with Greeny and my guy Damian Woody and Harry Douglas, former Titan.
All right. I would assume that you're getting a little bit more sleep in New York City than you would in Las Vegas.
But New York is the city that never sleeps. Remember that.
Well, city that never sleeps, but maybe sleeps a little bit more than Las Vegas for the Super Bowl.
And Get Up is an early show, so that's an early production call, as you guys can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I am. Maybe I shouldn't assume there.
Yeah.
But Tim, appreciate you for joining us, even with the early morning wake-up call that you had today. You know, one of our colleagues is in Vegas on Radio Row and has asked several people whether it's Tony Romo or whether it's Rich Gannon. A lot of their evaluations of Will Levis have been, you know, like the tools, heck of an arm. It's good that he's gotten some experience in his rookie season, but he has a tendency to turn the ball over. But he needs to learn when to slide. He needs to learn how to kind of fine-tune his fire. What's the difference? What is the difference between Will Levis taking the good and turning that into great and Will Levis maybe never really coming to fruition?
So I think it's development in terms of decision-making. I think that comes along with learning an offense, being coached in an offense, and the decision-making, like if we were to just look at Brock Purdy, who's going to play in a Super Bowl, who does not have the physical ability that Will Levis has, that's a differentiator, and that's what matters. And I think that, you know, part of the debate about Brock Purdy and is he a game manager or not is that I think most people feel like Kyle Shanahan is a really good offensive coach who calls good plays, who they've put good players around the quarterback. And because of that, you know, they have a quarterback that, you know, probably doesn't have the physical skills that most starting quarterbacks have, but he's playing at a really, really high level because he's a good decision maker. He's accurate and, you know, a bunch of other things around him that have allowed him to develop in just his second year.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I don't know if you heard, but Brock Bowers was at the Super Bowl, was on Radio Row yesterday, rather, and he was on with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. They asked him, where do you want to go? You know, where do you want to get drafted? And he said, the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, obviously, they made headlines in Nashville. But your thoughts on Brock Bowers as a tight end prospect? And I know that tight end is not necessarily traditionally a top 10 pick, not a premier pick, especially with the Titans with as many positions of need. But if the Titans did go Brock Bowers at 7, do you think that he could be a game-changing type of player?
Oh, I definitely do, you know, because he's one of those players that he's a tight end, but he has receiver skills. And that's, I think, where you start to create the biggest matchup issues in the National Football League with guys like him that can, you know, their versatility and their ability to separate. I think that he's going to be a guy that gets drafted high because of his skill set. And, you know, it was interesting. Most people kind of don't say anything about, hey, where do you want to go? They give this politically safe answer. And Brock Bowers yeah, Tennessee Titans. That's where I want to be. Put me there. I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, because you never truly get that, Tim, when a guy is asked that question. It's like, man, listen, at this point, just somebody draft me. That's all I care about. But it's good to see, you know, the honesty in the young kid to say, listen, if I do have an opportunity, yeah, Tennessee would. And I can see why. It's not too far from the University of Georgia. So if I don't know if he's from the Georgia
area. He's from Napa.
Yeah, he's from California. Yeah. So, like, wouldn't he say, like,
all places.
Like San Fran or somebody else? But I guess San Fran picks too low for him. So he wants to get picked higher. We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers.
Here we go.
Tim, we had a discussion on analytics. And listen, in asking this question, I don't expect you to get into the weeds with this because, you know, it's a lot in regards to analytics. But how do you understand analytics to be? And do you, even as a high school coach, are you using it in some form?
You know, I think that – so in terms of analytics, I guess what I would say is, you know, you need the data in order to, you know, to have the information, right? So in the college and program, you think about the stuff that's been tracked, and so now we have information on it, right? So, like, I think that would be what's different in college or pro football than, like, it was different in college football. Like, you're not getting the same exact information. So take an example of, you know, you're down 14 points and it's late in the fourth quarter. You score a touchdown. Hey, go for two, because the likelihood of you, you know, getting the football back and then coming down and scoring again to tie the game, like, you know, now you've, you know, taken that part of, you know, the equation. You're more likely to win the game, right? There's info and data on that at those levels. Now, like, it's not the same in other sports, right? Or excuse me, at other levels. So I would just say, for like, how do I look at that? I think that there is so much information now that is tracked that, listen, perception and reality or what we should do in this, you know, moment versus, you know, another moment in terms of going for it or kicking a field goal or whatever it may be. Yeah. I think that all of those things need to be a big part of the planning process. And then even beyond that, like, down to smaller details of, look, we have successful with these types of runs, you know, out of these formations. We have success on these passing concepts in these situations. Or, look, we don't have success bringing these types of pressure, blitz pressures in these moments. I there's so much information. You know, there's so much information that I think that you'd be crazy not to pay really, you know, close attention to it.
And you know, you're right in regards to that, because I was just interested to hear your answer, because when we say analytics, we think situations like you brought up, like fourth down, you go for it, you don't go for it, or this point in the game, we choose to do this instead of that because the analytics says that we probably will have a better outcome. But listening to Chad Brinker and listening to Rand Carthon, they're choosing not only to use it from that standpoint, but also to use it to evaluate players, to cut down the timing on, hey, if guy gets hurt on Wednesday, we need to get a guy in here by Thursday or Friday, and we don't have time to watch film. We've watched all the film we need to watch. Now, let's use our analytics, plug it in, however you want to do it, George Jetson type of thing, and it spits out four or five people. I think that's going a little bit further than what, you know, you said, and even what we thought, because when we're asking ourselves that question, Tim, it's the same thing as your answer. Like, okay, on third down, what point of the, you know, game and point of season, we do this in regards to a game.
Well, but and I think I was probably thinking of you asking it to me, like, from a coaching perspective.
Yes.
But I would say that, like, I had a conversation with somebody about guys not running 40s at the combine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, we used to care. We don't care anymore. And I was like, oh, really? Why don't you care anymore? And he's like, well, because we can measure how fast somebody is now. Like, we actually have somebody running, you know, 21.4 miles per hour. Like, in a game, we know he's fast. Like, I don't need to see him run a 40. In fact, we can gather the information now, actually, to know how fast he actually runs on a football field.
So, I wonder where Jerry Rice would have been picked if you had if you had more of that data when he was at Mississippi Valley State. That's an interesting question.
And what's interesting, Willie, like kind of to that point, like, you know, some of it is, you know, is being grabbed from outside, but like with all of these wearable technologies now, there are a lot of programs, and kind of to the question you asked earlier, D-Mace, like even in high school, like my daughter has worn, you know, a catapult device playing lacrosse. And we're like, oh, she ran 7 miles in this game. And she had, you know, 30 different, you know, bursts of 30-yard sprints, you know, because she's playing in the middle of the field. And it was like, ooh, that was a lot of running. I just remember seeing that information and thinking, well, that should help her figure out, not her specifically, but, like, that should help. Like, how should you train if that's the type of running that you do, right? Like, like, you should train differently. You should train for what you're going to be expected to do in a game. And so, yeah, I think that it helps on so many different levels.
So, Tim, I'm reading about the practice field for the 49ers, and I haven't gotten D-Mace's take on this, but it just seems like of all weeks to have something like this happen, the Super Bowl, and I don't even know what it is about the field. I've read about it. I guess it's a little spongy. It doesn't feel right. But to have that happen, I do wonder what effect is that having actually on the 49ers, knowing that just the littlest glimpse of this story has dozens and dozens of reporters trying to find out more, right? It just becomes mushrooms. So what effect do you think this is having?
Well, I mean, I think it's just probably adding to like some of the distrust that, that players have with the league in terms of player safety. I mean, I think that that's, you know, ultimately, like, I don't think fans care. I don't think, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, like, people generally probably don't care all that much about it other than, you know, the players who think, like, how is this possible? How is it to get to the biggest game of the year where just the amount of money that's being generated from this event and we can't even get a, like, what would it cost to have a perfect field in a climate like Las Vegas? Like, how much would it really cost to make sure that that's the case for this week? Like, I'm not a, you know, I don't know. I mean, my lawn is not great. So, like, so I'm not the guy to ask, but, like, I don't, like, it's pennies. It's fraction of pennies, probably, in the grand scheme of things for the National Football League. So I just think that, I think that's the shocking thing to me.
But it's also like just time taken away from your normal routine. Like, they clearly looked around and said, is there another field? Or can we, is there, what's the alternative? Like, okay, you can go to where the Chiefs are practicing, but you've got to come in earlier when they're not there. And Kyle Shanahan's having to put all this stuff together in his mind saying, what's, and he arrived at the conclusion, well, we'll just stay and deal with it. It's not perfect though. Like, but that's a lot of energy and thought taken away from preparing for the Super Bowl.
No doubt. And I'm sure D-Mace can even expand on, like, other things that come up in a Super Bowl week where you're like, yeah, like, it would have been great to not have to deal with that. I know, look, the year my brother was in a Super Bowl, they actually got into a car accident driving to media day. It's like, well, how's that for a distraction?
My goodness.
Saw Alexander Walter Jones, your starting quarterback, into a, in a car accident. Yeah, all those things are distractions. And I think the teams that are able to kind of deal with it and not carry that over into the game, you know, certainly play better. And I think the part of it that, I don't know, is probably alarming is the fact that, like, that shouldn't be. like, how is that a distraction? Like, how is that not something that, like, somebody has been on for over a month of, let's make sure that this surface is perfect?
So, Tim, let's go back to Purdy, because I think he's such a central figure in this Super Bowl, because I guess I, during the season, I didn't have him on my fantasy team or anything, but I wasn't aware of how dominant his stats were, right? This is a guy that, when you throw out game manager, he is number one in almost all of the key stats. Like, you want to talk about just your basic stats and that next level analytics. He's number one in almost everything. It's unbelievable. But if he has a bad game, I wonder how much just the anecdotal, he didn't do well in the one big game, is going to make him be perceived more like Jimmy Garoppolo. When Garoppolo has never had a season like he has statistically. Purdy's numbers are lights out.
Yeah, they're not close. So to kind of give you, you know, to piggyback on that, you know, in 2019 when Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl, in the two games leading, you know, that preceded the Super Bowl, Garoppolo threw 27 passes. Brock Purdy has thrown 70. You know, Garoppolo threw for 208 yards. Purdy, 519. Garoppolo, -1 yards rushing in those games. Brock Purdy, 62. Think how big his rushing yards were in the Green Bay game, in the game, in the NFC Championship game. 29 first downs for Purdy as an offense versus 14 for, you know, Garoppolo. Like, they're not the same. To me, when people are doing that, it feels like a lazy comparison. And I would say this to your point about the, you know, like, hey, it's easy for Purdy, right? Like, in terms of, hey, he's just throwing the ball to guys short and they're taking off and running it, okay? Here's a comparison that I, you know, got from, you know, guys I'm working with today, this morning on Get Up. So, yards after catch. Patrick Mahomes per game. Patrick Mahomes, 154. Brock Purdy, 122. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, like, air ball in the air. Like, people used to say that about Montana, right? It was all the quick tosses and stuff. But, like, dude, the guy is unbelievable, right? So, hey, Purdy, it is a misperception, right, that he doesn't get the ball down the field because the stats do say otherwise.
Percentage of throws, you know, attempts behind the line of scrimmage. Patrick Mahomes, 32% of his throws behind the line of scrimmage. Brock Purdy, 21%. Like, average depth of target, Purdy's is deeper than Mahomes. Like, all of it. Like, and I would just say this. When you watch the NFC Championship game, he made, like, I think there's this perception of, hey, he's just, like, in this offense, and it's, like, you know, everything is dialed up perfectly, and it's, you know, a five-step drop, one hitch, ball's out. Three-step drop, throw a slant, Debo, catch and run forever. And that's not reality. Like, I think there are probably 6 to 8 plays in the NFC Championship game where it's Purdy creating outside of the design of the offense. And really, if it were Lamar or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, can you believe he's doing that? And it just looks different because Brock Purdy looks like he could be D. Mace's accountant. But the reality is, he's a quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Really does and, look like.
Hey, listen,
if he's
good with money and stuff like that, then yes, he could be. Knowing that I'm very, you know, stingy when it comes to stuff like that, I like to keep it. Tim. This, you know, the Titans have the 7th pick in this year's draft, and I was listening to your boy Chase, your best friend, and Joe this morning talk about whether, you know, do you go with the wide receiver or do you go with the O-line? And, you know, me being a former wide receiver, you would think, oh, Mason would go with the wide receivers. But I know how this league is built, regardless of how, you know, how or where it's trending toward, you know, scoring a lot of points. But you can't score points if your quarterback is on his back 50% of the time. It's hard to do that. So if you were in the position that the Titans were in, and I know Brian Callahan has a history or he has, you know, a history of being in this situation, whether they draft the offensive lineman or they draft a receiver. Well, they chose to draft the receiver. And they didn't go wrong. Neither, you know, when the team that drafted the offensive lineman obviously didn't go wrong as well. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a situation like this in today's NFL, would you go, knowing the Titans' history, would you go wide receiver at the 7th pick, say if that said guy is there, or do you go with the surefire, you know, potential Hall of Famer, you know, offensive tackle in this year's draft? Because One would say, well, we need to score points. But then I'm on the side of the ledger that says, well, you can't score too many points if your quarterback is consistently on his backside.
Yeah, I still think you have to build inside out. Like, I think you build, from the football. I mean, I think that's what you do. And, everybody loves great wide receivers. You know, you get a elite receiver. You know, they can start to dictate coverage and, changing the way you get defended, which can help other people. So, I'm in full acknowledgement of that. But I do believe that, when you look at teams, you go back to Philadelphia going to the Super Bowl last year, it was because they were so dominant at the line of scrimmage. And I still think, as you're building something, it should be inside out, meaning close to the ball to further away from the ball. I do think that is the right way and probably the safest way to build your organization.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate your time today, as always, and we'll chat with you next week.
Bye. Thanks. See you guys.
Appreciate it, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. He is the absolute best. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. Plus, I had to get D-Mace's thoughts on what came out during our show yesterday. And I was, Willie was telling me something. I'm trying to focus on what Willie is saying, but I was like, if this is true, we have to investigate this. And we'll react to that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.